You're listening to a Countout Podcast.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Independent Waters. I am your host, Mikey Manfredi, and joining me, as always, Zach Batista. Zach, how you doing, buddy?
It's early right now when we're doing this. It's also kind of cold, but other than that, I'm chilling right now.
Oh, man, I'm loving the cold, though. It's great. That morning chill, really gets that feeling in your bones, man.
Yeah, it definitely wakes you up when you wake up in the morning.
Yeah, it does. And so, Zach, what's been up recently, buddy?
Lot of work, a bit of D&D here and there. I'm mainly
Ooh,
just D&D.
By.
Yeah.
I wish I could have made that session last night, but I was busy.
Well, yeah, you didn't die, so it was.
Oh, thank goodness.
It's always a good session when you don't die.
Oh, yeah. Those tend to be the best ones. All right. Well, I got some pretty good matches this week. Zach, you told me you also have some pretty good matches this week.
I do.
So why don't we just jump right into it? I went first last week, so Zach, kick us off.
Okay. Man, do I want to give my best match first, or I want to give my match that isn't the best, but is pretty good first? We'll start with the pretty good one first, and we'll go from there. Okay. First match that I watched this week was Nicole Savoy versus Big Swole at Rise 6 Brutality.
Oh, yikes.
For those of you that don't know, Nicole Savoy is also known as Lil Swole.
Oh, God.
She and Big Swole are friends, and they might be more than just that, but that's what I'm going to go for now. Two of them might have trained together, but they're good friends. Right. And at the time, actually, this is when Big Swole was known as Ariel Monroe. Former ring name before she took on the name Big Swole, which anyone who watches AEW knows that is what she goes by these days.
Yes.
In fact, I didn't realize that Nicole Savoy was a little swole until I saw a picture of her, like, not like with her, like, longer hair, and I realized, oh shit, I watched a match with her with Big Swole. I didn't realize that.
We saw Nicole Savoy at the Collective.
Uh-huh. I did not recognize her because my eyesight is shit and her hair was really short.
Fair.
So when I saw that, I was like, oh, I'm like, oh, this should be fun. So when the match gets underway, I'll tell you this right now. Like, this match, the best way to describe it is a fun-ass match. The match starts, and before anything, Big Swole's like, all right, all you need to know, everyone in the crowd needs to know right now, this is Little Swole, I'm Big Swole. And the two of them then shook hands, and the match just kind of gets underway from that point. And the best way I could describe the opening this entire match, really, but mainly the opening portions, is two siblings that wrestling with each other, like two kids wrestling with each other. As in, the two of them are both grappling each other, and each one getting an upper hand at some point. And the whole time, the two of them are just having this nice, friendly banter with each other. Like, Nicole's, like, saying, like, come on, Swole, that all you got? And then Swole's going, like, nah. And then she just, like, counters her, which I enjoyed quite a bit. There was this funny segment there where Swole was in a submission. And the ref asked if she gave up. She replied, no, 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 no. And to which the ref then said to the crowd, no, 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 no. Which I thought was, I was like, I'm like, good on you, ref.
No, has been called.
Exactly. So Savoy stays in control for a bit. It's a little bit back and forth. Savoy then gets a nice shoulder check on Swole after the two are trying to Irish whip each other. And when she's on the ground, Swole gives her like the, all right, I see you, I see you. She then gets up. And after Nicole taunts her, she gets up and drop kicks her / hits her with a high knee. I couldn't tell which one this was, but still looked cool.
Okay.
Then Big Swole suddenly hits her finisher from AEW, which is Dirty Dancing, on Savoy, which I thought was actually kind of cool. Because I was like, oh, shit. I was like, oh. I'm like, ah, oh, that's cool. She then let's see. Is it it doesn't really do much to Nicole, I have written down here, but then she Savoy boots Swole in the chest and they two start to strike each other before Swole then hits her signature headbutt, followed by a knee strike to from Nicole. Which I thought was, again, it's just cool to see Swole use her signature and her finisher here without, like, any of it being, like, kind of like, you know, the finisher she's got right now. Nicole then hits her first suplex of this match, which I'm pretty sure I described here as a fisherman dragon suplex.
Ooh.
And that she, like, hooks Swole's knee, but she gets her, like, by her arms, and then she just suplexes her, which looks really cool. And for all of you that don't know, Nicole Savoy's nicknames are the Queen of the Suplexes, or the, I believe it is the, I'm going to figure out the other nicknames. But she's known for her suplexes, basically. Ah, I found it. I have this written down here. I'm smarter. The Sacramento Suplex Machine is the other nickname she goes by. Yeah,
very nice.
I was very happy to see her do some suplexes here. So let's see. After that, Nicole's in control for a second or two, or very briefly, before Swole gets some distance between the two of them. There's then another funny swat where Savoy runs at Swole while she's in the corner. And Swole puts her hands up, and I think she's giving her, like, she's putting her finger at her. It's like she's pointing at her, right? And Savoy yells, "This isn't Mario. I'm not a ghost." And then she runs at her, and Swole yells, "Got him," and then kicks her in the face with a super kick, which I thought was just funny. To which then the announcer's like, "She has done plenty of professional wrestling. She knows this is not Mario." And I was just like, this is professional wrestling indeed. This is a good match. I'm enjoying myself here.
Indeed.
So then the two kind of go off for the side for a bit. I think if I recall correctly, Swole or Savoy rolls out. The two of them kind of strike each other. And then Savoy chops Swole on the chest. And it's a loud-ass chop. It looked like it sounded like it hurt. And then there's this just another fun segment where Savoy actually lets a kid in the crowd chop Swole, which Swole sells, and the crowd also sells. Like, she did an amazing chop, and I love that. It was just wholesome, honestly. Savoy then hits this really cool judo throw where she, like, I don't know the actual name of this because I used to know this, but she, like, flips her so she's on her knees, right? And then she hits her with a knee strike to the face. Swole actually kicks out. Savoy then tries again, but Swole actually blocks it because she knows what she's going to try to do this time, like the throw itself, and then power bombs her, but she doesn't get the three. So it's a cool segment. Swole then works Savoy's arm for a bit before the two crossbody each other at the same time, and they kind of collide in the middle of the ring. You know the spot.
Yeah, of course.
The two then get up and start to exchange some strikes, with Savoy coming out on top after she kicks Swole in the head in the corner, like it's kind of like a roundhouse kick.
Mm-hmm.
She then hits Swole with a butterfly suplex. And I remember it impressed me since, now I remember this. It's not just a butterfly suplex. It's a butterfly superplex. And I remember
butterfly superplex?
Yes.
That sounds like the name of, like, an indie band.
Yeah. And I remember when they did it, I was impressed because the two of them are really close to the ceiling when they did this. And I remember thinking to myself, you're not going to do a superplex. I'm like, you're going to kick the ceiling. And then they did it. And I was just like, all right, I'll shut up. So Swole kicked out, and Savoy hits her with another dragon suplex.
You should have known after last week where you're like, they're not going to do that. No one ever does that. And then you got hit with the, they do this all the time.
I know. It's just like, I feel like I'm conditioned that I'm like, I think to myself, nah, you won't do this. And then it's just, nah.
And then they do it.
Never underestimate independent wrestling.
Yeah. They'll always do the thing.
All right. So then Swole hits a big elbow, which it was like a running elbow or something like that. And then kicks Nicole's arm for a bit, and then she pulls her to the ground. And so she kicks her in the arm. She kicks her knees out, right? Mm-hmm. She then runs towards her, and she kind of pulls her face into the mat, and she yells, "The power of Christ compels you, Nicole," which I just thought was just funny because don't know why she said it, but it was hilarious in my opinion.
Don't know why she said it, but she said it.
It was funny. Savoy then kicks out and then gets an armbar on Swole, which Swole gets out of. And then Nicole then hits a series of other strikes on her before she hits her with a German suplex again. Savoy then puts Swole in the Savoy lock, or the Savo lock, my bad, and submits her, actually.
Oh.
The two then hug it out at the end of the match. Nice. They kind of, like, raise each other's arms. And overall, for this match, I think if I recall correctly, I gave it a meh to a high meh, because while this match wasn't like a 5-star classic, I just had a lot of fun with the match. It was wholesome as hell. It was just nice.
Nice. I like it. Seems like a fun one. I really like that we're watching more Nicole Savoy after what we saw at the Collective, which was she had an awesome match with Kimberly.
Yeah.
Who we will actually get to later.
A little bit
of a teaser. A
little bit.
But yeah, it seems like it was a really good match. So yeah, go check that out. Free on YouTube.
Of course.
Nicole Savoy versus Big Swole. All right. So for my first match, we're going back to an old Indy Waters little pool here that we always like to go to sometimes.
Oh, I know where you're going with this.
Professional wrestling from Hollywood.
Oh, wow. I thought you were going to do Riptide because you said pool, so I was like, oh.
Yeah, we got a little bit of professional wrestling from Hollywood. We've gone to this well a couple of times.
Yes, we have.
We got a tag team match.
Ooh.
Between a team called SoCal Distancing, which is Andy Brown and Adrian Quest, versus 4 Minutes of Heat, which is Rock God Ricky Gibson and Rick Nasty Eddie Pearl. I don't know why his name. I don't know why Ricky Eddie Pearl's nickname is Rick Nasty, but hey,
Rick Nasty.
Yeah. So it is a tag team match between the two of these teams, and it starts off. It's a lot of double team moves from 4 Minutes of Heat. They have like this like old school like a lot of their moves are named after like 80s. Rock and roll, almost like their big finishing move is called the Power Ballad.
Oh, okay.
So it's them just hitting a bunch of double team moves like a lot in the beginning of the match. Like they're just like tagging in, tagging out, and just like ripping apart Adrian Quest.
Okay,
from SoCal Distancing, and they like it's like weird because there's never really a hot tag. There's just like a like. I think Adrian Quest just gets out at some point and tags in Andy Brown.
Okay.
And it's like, oh, I was like, God, I was so hyped for like a hot tag to come. Like, oh. And it just wasn't there. It was like so weird. So there's a point where, like I said, it turns around where Andy Brown comes in. And then they start doing a lot of double team moves together.
Okay.
And they start working on Ricky Gibson's arm the whole match. So I'm like, okay, they're setting up for a submission. Something's going on here. One of their finishers is probably a submission move. I haven't seen of these guys, so I'm not 100% sure yet.
Okay. I'm going to hope for the best.
Yeah, so this match keeps going on. They keep focusing on Gibson's arm. They get a little bit of spots back and forth. Then there's like a weird commercial break in the middle.
Oh.
Literally, like they like... It wasn't even like an ad, like a YouTube ad. It was just like pro wrestling pro wrestling from Hollywood just ran an ad in the middle of the match.
That's unfortunate.
And I was like, oh, I didn't know I was watching WWE. Sorry. And they come back, and it's just like the match again. And then there's a big ref bump.
Oh,
the ref goes down. The guys from 4 Minutes of Heat pick up Adrian Quest on like one of their shoulders.
Okay.
And as he's trying to escape, he accidentally kicks the ref and knocks him out.
Oh. Okay.
And then the lights go out.
What?
Yeah, the lights go out. And then when we come back, seemingly nothing has changed. But then the ref stands up and the ref has a mask and a crowbar.
The fuck?
And the ref starts beating down 4 Minutes of Heat with the crowbar. The ref was aligned with SoCal Distancing, and then Ray Rosas comes out to help 4 Minutes of Heat.
Okay.
Another person comes out, and it's Ray Rosas, and he comes out to help 4 Minutes of Heat. So then this ref character, who was just beating down 4 Minutes of Heat with a crowbar, gets knocked out by Ray Rosas, and then Ray Rosas takes on the rest of SoCal Distancing by himself, and then that ref guy comes back with a bottle of chloroform and a towel.
What?
And puts Ray Rosas to sleep.
What?
And then the video ends.
What?
So there was no finish to this match.
Wait.
No bell ever rang to end this match.
What?
It just ended with the lights going out, a different ref being in the ring, attacking 4 Minutes of Heat, and then Ray Rosas comes out to help 4 Minutes of Heat, to which he gets chloroformed.
What? What is this match?
I don't know, but now there's nothing. That was the end. The ending was the guy getting chloroformed. Like, I don't know what to say about this one. Like, it was just so bizarre to watch. Like, the fact that there was just, like, a random commercial break in the middle. The fact that there was just, like, a whole non-finish,
the
basically.
The ref chloroformed the guy interfering, dude.
It was so weird, and it was, like, a different ref. Like, the ref wasn't the ref. Like, when the lights went out and came back on, it was, like, a different guy in a ref shirt.
What?
Yeah, like it wasn't the same ref that was reffing the whole match. It was just, like, a completely different dude in a ref shirt with, like, a mask on who just, like, happened to be working with SoCal distancing.
What the fuck?
It was like
you had me in the first half. I'm not gonna lie with that match. I was like,
literally, I thought I was gonna watch a nice normal tag match. I got swerved like four different times.
You can never expect the chloroform.
Okay, but. To give this match a rating, I'm just going to rate it based on the wrestling I saw, which was kind of a miss out, honestly.
Oh, really?
I don't know. It wasn't anything. It didn't feel like anything special. Like, the wrestling just felt like a normal tag team match. Like, these two teams didn't do anything spectacular. They didn't do anything, like, neat. It was just, like, a normal back-and-forth tag team wrestling match, and then everything shit hit the fan, basically.
Gotcha.
And that didn't save it for me. It just kind of made it worse because I was like, oh, after all this, I don't even get a finish. Like, I just get a bunch of random bullshit with, like, a different ref beating down people with, like, with two different interferences and someone getting chloroformed. Like, what?
I just can't.
I don't know. It was just so weird.
That is weird. The chloroform, when you hit me with the chloroform, I was just like,
you didn't see that one coming.
Bro, the last time I heard, I think I recall chloroform being involved in wrestling was when Giant Gonzalez chloroformed The Undertaker and got himself disqualified at WrestleMania.
It was wild.
Fucking wild.
I don't know. For me, it's a miss out. Like I said, it wasn't really anything exciting. It was kind of a boring match otherwise. And it really didn't need a commercial break because it was like it would have been like a 10-minute long match anyway.
Oh my god.
It's not like it was a long match that like needed a that would have made a little bit of sense to put a commercial break in because like it's long. No, mm-hmm. It was like a 10-minute match. Like it was like Jesus. It didn't need a commercial break. It was dumb.
That's just I can't even, man. Wow. Well,
all right. Well, after that miss out, what's your first match you got this week?
Well, going off of that, I decided to continuing with the theme of the collective. I decided to find a match for Blake Christensen. And if you've listened to the episode we had of Independent Waters and the Collective, you will know that I was high as a kite on this guy.
Yes.
So I wanted to find a match of his. Didn't care who it was against. Just wanted to find one. The one I ended up picking was Blake Christensen versus KTB at GCW's Lights Out.
Oh, nice.
Now, I didn't know who KTB was because...
KTB was the guy from Iron Beast.
See, this was nice. This is the nice part because commentary immediately said that. And I was like, oh, yeah, because I only knew him as Iron Beast.
We saw them.
Yes, I noticed this as the match was started. Yeah. And I was like, well, I'm like, this will be good then because he was good.
It's KTB and Shane Mercer, correct?
I believe you are correct. Because I forgot their names individually. I just remembered they were Iron Beast.
Yes.
So... as I learned from this match right off the bat, first off, that KTB was in Iron Beast, which I was like, oh, I'm like, thank you. Thank you. Second match was, this is actually Blake's debut match in DCW.
Really?
Yep, this is his first match.
Very interesting. Real quick note on KTB, have you been watching the show on IWTV called The Masked Wrestler recently?
I have not, but I feel like I've heard of this.
It's very, very good. It's like a show where like two people in masks wrestle, and you don't know who either one is, but it's like a tournament, right? And it's like a bunch of masked wrestlers fighting each other.
Interesting.
And the winner of the tournament is going to get a independent wrestling title shot.
Oh shit!
Against Warhorse, the champion.
Oh yeah, because he's the longest reigning champ, right?
Yeah. So whoever wins gets a shot for that title, but you don't know who any of the wrestlers are. Until they lose. Once they lose, they have to unmask. And there's like three judges who like there's like three judges who watch and they have to like try to guess who the wrestler is, who the wrestlers are. and it's really, really cool. And spoiler alert for anyone who is watching The Masked Wrestler and isn't on episode 2 yet, shut it off now. Or fast forward a little bit. KTV was one of the masked wrestlers on episode 2.
Ooh.
Which was very... He unmasked, and I was like, hey, I know that guy!
Oh, that's fun. That's fun. I might have to watch that if I ever catch
it. Yeah, it's really, really cool. It's very interesting. It's cool to watch two wrestlers who you don't... Nobody knows who they are. Watching some other indie wrestling... People from the indie wrestling world try to guess who's in the ring. It's neat. It's a neat concept for sure.
Does sound neat.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, continue. I'm sorry.
Oh, it's fine. That was actually this. It was enjoyable. I actually didn't. I've heard of it, but I didn't know much about it. So that was good to know.
It's on every Wednesday after Dynamite.
Oh, well, that's helpful. Okay. Fun fact about this match, by the way, that I forgot to mention: Joey Janela is actually on commentary for this match.
Hmm.
And I was like, oh, this. I'm like, that's nice.
Makes sense. Big GCW name.
Yep. Big. All right, so the match comes out. KTB is clearly he's the crowd favorite. No, it's not that people hate Christian. It's that the KTB is just an established name at this point in GCW, whereas no one knows who Christian is.
Okay.
Christensen is. It's Christensen, yep. Right? Yeah, I'm fucking not. I'm not going to fuck this name up as as much as I hope I will. But so the match literally starts with KTB just tossing Christensen off of him. Like, he literally just tries to grapple him. He just throws him. He then flips him off and yells, fuck you, at him. To which then Blake responds with a running knee, a drop kick, and then a triple suicide dive to the outside, which sends KTB back to the bar around the ring because, as I forgot to mention, this match takes place in a bar in Tennessee, I believe it is.
Nice.
Definitely a bar, though, because I remember, like, he gets knocked
bar
all
fight,
the way back to
bar
the bar.
Fight,
you,
bar
basically,
fight.
Yeah. Which... as I wrote down here, it was a good way to show this battle is basically a fight between if Blake's speed can outdo the power of KTB, because KTB was just going to throw him around the ring. So they get back into the ring, and Blake hits a series of kicks before KTB just kind of tosses him over his shoulders and, like, okay, how do I put this? You know how, like, when the Dudleys do, like, the 3D and, like, he kind of lifts him up, but he doesn't, like, toss him?
Mm-hmm.
Imagine that, except instead of holding on to him, he just kind of tosses him over his head. Here's the thing. There's a bunch of air ducts above the ring. And Blake literally hits the air duct above the ring.
Oh, no.
And I remember, I was like, oh, my God. I'm like, he just hit the air duct. It was like, Jesus Christ. And then KTB went up to him as he's, like, you know, recovering from hitting the air ducts. And then just flips him inside out with a German suplex, basically.
Jesus.
I was like, I am so ready for this match. And I was like, he literally threw him into the vents. And we were like 3 minutes into the match.
Jesus Christ.
I know, right? So then KTB hit a series of chops on Blake, which literally lit up his chest from white to red.
It
sounded awful. But after watching The Collective, I know that Blake apparently is a glutton for punishment and just takes chops to the chest every day. And just is fine
with
it.
We did see him take a ton of chops.
And he just fucking soldiers on. He then hits a fall-away slam, which sends him literally soaring across the ring. I was just like, he's literally throwing him around. I was like, Jesus Christ.
And you go this way, and you go this way.
Exactly. He kicks out of that. And then when he puts him in the corner, and when he runs at it, Blake then enziguris him in the face, right? He falls into the corner. He then decides he's just going to 619 him in the ring. Like, he, like, runs towards the corner and 619s the ropes to kick him in the chest because he's face first into the turnbuckle now. Which
nice.
I just thought was cool. I wrote here that, unfortunately for him, he goes for a, you know how, like, sometimes wrestlers will, like, do, like, a full flip in the ring and then they'll, like, jump up and do something like a face buster?
Mm-hmm.
Blake tried to do something similar where he did a back senton, like he somersaulted, right?
Oh, nice.
And he jumped up, and I assume he was going to go for his stunner, which he does sometimes. And instead, KTB just caught him and hit him with a smooth-ass blue powerbomb, blue thunderbomb, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, Jesus fucking Christ, this match is insane. Which was... he kicks out of it, too. So then KTB, this is... cool segment where KTB ties his arms and legs up so, like, he can't move in the ring. It's kind of like where he's, like, stuck and he can't actually move theoretically. He then just gets behind him and just starts pounding on his chest with chops. It just sounded awful for him.
Yeah, I bet. That probably sounded like just the worst.
It just sounded just like thunder being struck.
Jesus.
So then there's this but then KTB gets out of it, kind of where he like gets his arms undone, right? He jumps on the bottom rope, and a la the one wrestler, I forgot his name right now, but he's the one who doesn't have legs when he wrestles. Like, the guy who's like, doesn't, what's his name?
You know, the guy who doesn't have legs when he wrestles, as if he has legs.
No, it's the,
as if he just sprouts them when he's not wrestling. Yeah.
He crawls around the ring. What's his name?
Yeah, I don't know.
I feel so bad. I can't remember his name right now, but he does it like he bounces off the bottom of the bottom rope, and he actually stunners KTB from it and then gets his legs undone, which I thought was just really cool. Oh, no, I just realized what we're getting to now. Okay, so the two then hit each other, and KTB ends up on the apron, right? Now, it's an important thing to note here at this point that there's a support beam by the ring. Okay. Like, it's a black metal support beam that's not, it's not part of the ring. And KTB is trying to punch, Blake is trying to punch KTB off the apron into the pole, right? And it doesn't work, and then he runs towards KTB, and KTB just looks like he just straight punches Blake in the face, but he didn't, and he knocks him out, right?
Okay.
Which at this point, I was like, ooh, that's nasty. I was like, okay, what are you going to do with him? He then gets him. He then suplexes him into the pole. But Blake decides he's going to be Spider-Man and wraps his legs around the top of the pole and stays up there.
It's Dustin Thomas, by the way.
Thank you, actually. I was hoping that you were looking that up while I was describing this.
Yes.
So, yeah, Blake's wrapped up on the pole like Spider-Man at this point. And then he just transitions that into a Hurricane Rana on KTB on the outside.
Which okay.
I was just like, what the fuck is the match? He then... There's a bit more back and forth here before... the next segment I have here of note is that... So KTB gets Blake in the corner, right? He runs at him and he forearms him in the face, right? He then throws him into the other corner. He then runs towards Blake, and he tries to punch him, right?
Okay.
But Blake ducks him. And because he swung so hard at him when he was, like, trying to hit him, he actually fell face first into the mat. Like, he ran towards him in the corner. Blake ducked. He went back at him again. He swung so hard that he just fell face first. I thought that was actually a really cool little detail. I wish more people did stuff like that.
Okay.
Blake then hit this really cool thing where he got him in a bulldog, right? He ran and then he flipped both of them into the corner. Like, him and the other guy flipped into the corner. And, like, I'm not sure if it was supposed to happen, but I liked it nonetheless. Looked cool. Looked weird, too. He then hits another springboard moonsault in the ring where he almost hits the duck that he hit before again, but he doesn't somehow. He then gets a door out, which, of course, if this is GCW, you know that they like to bring out doors every other match. Just break them, because, sure. Yeah. Doors.
Who needs doors? Exactly. I mean, who needs tables when you have doors?
Exactly. Let me see. Oh, yeah. So KTB then gets the best of the next exchange and slams Blake onto the ground, right? He then sits his own spring forward moonsault.
Okay.
But Blake somehow kicked out of it, and I remember I was visibly surprised that he actually kicked out, because I thought for sure this entire match that Blake was going to eat this pin, right? The two of them fought for a bit. Blake hit a Spanish fly on KTB, and he somehow kicked out of that. The two of them get onto I have this written down. Blake gets onto the apron, right?
Yeah.
And he jumps on the ropes. And kind of like a Styles Clash, right? Not a Styles Clash, Phenomenal Forearm, right?
Okay.
KTB actually catches him. Like, he has him in, like, a press, right? And remember the support beam I talked about? And how it's not gimmicked? I don't know why Blake let him do this to him, but he let him throw him into the support beam. Like, he just got straight thrown into it.
Okay.
Looked awful. And I was like, you guys are insane. Why would you do that to him? Why do this to yourself?
Why? What have you done?
Mm-hmm. He then hits a... KTB hits a splash and jackhammer, but Blake kicks out again. And again, Jesus, I didn't expect him to kick out because I thought he ate the support beam, so he was done. So KTB then set up some the fucking door on the outside with like two chairs that looked something straight out of I'm not gonna remember this right now, but it looked like something out of like a wedding kind of. They looked like wedding chairs. I don't know where he got them from.
Okay.
And the two of them then fought to put the other one through the table, and it ended up being with Blake hitting a DDT on KTB on the apron, which stunned him, allowing him to then flip onto him through the table. He then rolled him into the ring and hit him with his signature 450, and he actually picked up the win. And
whoa!
I know. The two then shook hands after the match, which I thought was a nice callback because at the beginning of this match, KTB literally had no respect for him at all. He literally told him to fuck off. And at the end of the match, he shook his hand. Commentary put him over huge as well. This match gets a mark out for me, by the way, in case you can't tell how much I like this match.
Okay.
This match was absolutely insane. I don't know.
It sounds like it was bonkers.
I don't know why they put so much into Blake's first match, but I'm glad they did because he's amazing. Oh god,
that's great.
Yeah, no,
I mean, they probably saw the potential in him, right? Like,
oh, dude, they called the commentary literally compared him to Will Ospreay.
Jesus! They really went in.
They really were high on Blake, and you know, it's nice to see that years later, this is a year ago.
He was a good choice.
Yeah, it's nice to see like a year later, he was a great choice, and we got to see him live.
That's awesome.
All right.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, he's great. I'm glad that match was a mark out. The match sounded insane.
It is brutal, fast-paced, and very exciting.
I definitely need to check that out. All right. So my second match, we got a match from Inspire Pro Wrestling.
Ooh.
We got Ricky Starks.
Oh, I love Ricky Starks.
Taking on Effie.
Ooh, Effie.
Yeah.
Wow. All right.
This is a match that is just oozing charisma between these two guys.
Oh, yeah. Absolute Ricky Starks. Ooh.
Ricky Starks and Effie. Like, come on. That match is just, like, dripping with charisma. The ring couldn't handle it all. This match was great. I really, really like this match a lot. These two guys really just beat the crap out of each other. And they also added some funny moments in there as well, which I always love.
Of course.
It was this one point where I didn't know Ricky Starks does, like, his own version of the People's Elbow.
I believe so, yes. I think
where he does the whole People's Elbow thing where he, like, kicks their arms in. And then he does just, like, a senton.
Yes, I believe so.
Yeah, that threw me off. But then commentary was like, oh, this is becoming more of a signature of Ricky Starks than The Rock. And I was like, oh, yeah?
It's like, really now?
There was a huge spot where Ricky Starks is going to spear Effie in the corner, and Effie sidesteps it and just throws Ricky Starks into the ring post.
Oh.
But it looked so brutal because Ricky Starks, like, dove and just slammed the ring post and fell to the outside. He didn't just, like, shoulder it and hold it and, like, fall back in the ring. He, like, went. Dude, like, did, like, a straight suicide dive into this thing and just landed on the outside. It looked so brutal.
Oh, that probably
I was like, oh, my God. Yeah, that was wild to watch. It was a crazy, crazy spot I was not prepared for.
Mm.
And there is a really funny point a little bit after that where Ricky has Effie in the corner.
Mm-hmm.
And Ricky gives Effie a purple nurple. But the thing is,
it did
was make Effie more powerful.
I was going to say, please tell me Effie enjoyed this somehow.
Effie smiled and grabbed Ricky Starks' hands and like shoved him off and threw him in the corner and then bit Ricky Starks' nipple.
What the hell? Okay.
And then just hits him with a giant underhook suplex, which was great. There is a really nice Hurricane Rana reversal at some point by Starks into, like, a Boston Crab where Effie goes for like a big Hurricane Rana, but then Starks catches him, goes up for a power bomb.
Okay.
Effie tries to get reversed back into a Hurricane Rana again, but then Starks like sits down and like grabs his legs and just puts it into a huge Boston Crab.
Ooh.
And then there was, of course, the classic point in any Effie match where Effie pulls down the pants of his competitor.
Of course.
And there is one point where Ricky Starks' ass is just out, and there and he's wrestling, and then he does like a seated senton onto Effie with his bare ass.
Oh my
which again makes Effie more powerful. Effie then gets up, pulls down his pants, and these two do entire ass sequences with their asses out.
What the fuck? What the fuck?
There's literally whole sequences where they're like their asses are just hanging out. They do like whole things. It's wild.
That does sound wild. That's the best way I could describe that.
Yeah, it's insane. It's like their trunks are just holding on for dear life. Ricky's are holding on to for like the rest of the match because he never actually fixes them. Effie at one point fixes his, but like Starks never gets his right.
Oh.
But it was really wild to just watch like just wrestling, but just asses also. Just both of their butts just out. There was a huge spear that Stark hits on Effie. And then that didn't get the job done. So Starks goes to pick Effie up for a tombstone. But then Effie, like, does the thing where he, like, falls and, like, reverses it into his own tombstone.
Gotcha.
You know, like, where they, like, flip.
Yeah.
Yeah, they did that. And then Effie hits the tombstone on Ricky Starks, gets up on the top rope, hits him with an elbow drop, and gets the 1-2-3.
Wow.
Effie wins this match. And it was a title match. They didn't really show... They didn't really announce it in the beginning or talk about it that much. But it was apparently a title match that Ricky Starks had the title and that Effie won.
Oh.
Yeah, like I said, they didn't really mention it much, which was weird. They didn't, like, hype it up to be, like, a title match a lot.
Damn.
Which threw me off because, like, at the end, they're just like, oh, my God, Effie's the new champion. I was like, wait, the what? And then it just faded out to black. I was like, wait, what? Like,
wait a second, please. I was like,
wait,
no.
Wait, hold on, wait.
Can't just do that.
What do you win?
This is bullshit.
I'm assuming it's like the Inspire title.
I assume so, yeah.
But yeah, so that match was really cool. I liked it a lot. I thought it was really funny. I thought it was just really good wrestling. These two really just beat the crap out of each other. I gave this one a mark out for me.
Wow, two markouts back to back.
Yeah. I was just waiting for a match where Effie went and Effie went in this one.
Yeah, I believe it was you, me, and Ryan. I'll talk about this at the collective at one point. Mm-hmm. But we all believe that Effie can go, and we were just kind of waiting to find a match where he really, like, went.
Yeah, this match versus Starks was really, really good. I liked it a lot.
I'm glad to hear it.
All right. Well, we both got our matches out of the way this week. So now that brings us to the match we both watched. We watched... 2 seconds. We watched Kimberly versus JT Dunn from Beyond Wrestling in a 3 out of 5 falls match.
Yeah, you picked this match for us this week. And
I did. I picked this one.
I was
Zach, what did you think about this match? Let's kick us off with what we thought about this one.
Hold on. Let me count this out here. 4 words for you.
Okay.
I fucking loved it.
This match was awesome, right?
Amazing.
This match was sick. These two beat the absolute snot out of each other.
Loved it. Oh,
it was great. It starts off really slow.
Mm-hmm.
But then after that first fall, oh boy, does it go?
Yeah.
Does it just go into overdrive?
Yeah. I enjoyed this. I enjoyed the story they told here. The fact that the two of them are very equally matched.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the first fall was just a lot of chain wrestling where each of them kind of just kept doing the same thing for each other. Whereas, like, you know, Dunn went for Lee's shoulder, Lee went for his, like, his left leg, I believe it was.
Yeah, it was a very equally matched match, and it was awesome. and it was in front of like 10 people.
Like, oh, yeah, it was in front of like 10 people, and the crowd
was maybe 30 max?
Something like that, but I know
it was small. It was a small, small crowd.
I remember very specifically being a little sad when the crowd was all for JT Dunn, and no one cheered for Lee when she came out, and I was like, you guys,
were cheered for her afterwards, though.
Yeah, afterwards, damn. But when she came into the match, I was like, bruh.
Like, yeah, that was rough.
Was
like,
oh.
But this match starts off, like I said, very like back and forth on submissions.
Mm-hmm.
These two are like just trying to like feel each other out, just trying to get like any damage in on each other to start off.
Yep.
And then JT Dunn hits like a double stomp off the top rope to the back of it. It was almost like Warhorse's finisher, where he just hits a double stomp to the back of the neck. And JT Dunn gets the first pin out of in this 3 out of 5 falls match.
Yeah. If I recall correctly, I like this pin because throughout the match, like I said, they literally kept mirroring each other. Like there was a sequence where like Lee did like a, I think it was a jawbreaker to him, and then an enziguri, and he did the exact same thing back to her.
Yeah,
and then she
it was like
lost.
Anything you could do, I could do better.
Yeah, and then she lost when she tried to do something different, and Dunn caught her out on it, and then hit her with the what was it? I remember she put him in a tree of woe. He then pulled her off the top rope, and then as she was getting up, he hit her with a double stomp.
Yeah. Yeah, he like, ripped her down by her hair and just flipped her over.
The second fall was, if I recall correctly, like, the two of them was just, like, a brief fight before
It was a brief fight. Lee got a roll-up in.
Yeah, Lee hit a really good tornado DDT, and then Hurricane Rana him into a roll-up for the win.
Yes, so
it's
1-1 at this point. They both get a pinfall right off the bat, and then most of the rest of this match takes place on the outside of the ring.
And now you might think that's like, oh, how can this be? How would this match be good if it's all just on the outside? Just wait.
This match takes place a lot on the outside of the ring. These two start brawling on the outside. There's one point where Kimberly is like leaning on like a brick pillar.
Oh.
And JT Dunn goes to chop Kimber, and Kimber dodges, and he just smacks the shit out of a brick wall. And I was like, oh, no. Oh, his poor hand.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it sounded so loud, too.
It did.
Oh, man. And
there's one thing that I would like to note here is at this point, both the competitors are quite tired.
Yeah.
But it does not take away from this match's energy, like, because each strike they do, it's like they get everything they can out of each strike, and everyone just connects well.
Yeah, so they start brawling around the ring. This is the point where I should bring up.
Yeah,
this is also taking place in a room with two rings.
Yeah, I was gonna say we should probably mention that for what's
there's
happening.
A second ring in the room as well.
Mm-hmm.
And what ends up happening is that they go around, they keep resetting the ref's count. Like one of them keeps rolling back in and coming back out, rolling back in, coming back out. They keep resetting the count. And then JT Dunn, like, throws Kimberly onto the apron of the second ring, hits her with, like, a big boot, knocks her out. Then JT Dunn gets up on the first ring they were wrestling in, runs along the apron, and jumps ring to ring and does a gigantic leg drop onto the back of Kimberly and just hits the floor.
It was
wild. That just made me go, what the fuck? I was like, what?
Love that.
Yo, that spot got me. I was like, are you kidding me? Ring to ring, just leg drop, and they both just crash to the floor, which leads to, unfortunately, a double count out.
Yeah, I think
which
the two
ties the falls up 2-2.
Yeah, they get up. I think I recall correctly, the two of them get up. They start to fight. They double pump kick each other in the face and just knock each other out.
That was later.
Was it
yes. The to make it 2-2, the double count out was the leg drop spot.
Yes.
Because they both neither of them got up after that.
Oh
which
yes,
is fair.
That was a yes because they couldn't get into the ring and then
yeah, they couldn't get back into the ring.
Then they got up. After
then
the
they
count
got
out.
Counted out.
And then
they got up
again.
They got up. Got back in the ring. Fought a little bit. Went back outside again. They went back outside, and then there's a point where they both hit each other with a bicycle kick in the face at the same time and knock each other out. Which leads to the third fall, but it's 3-3, so the ref calls a draw. The ref rings the bell. He's like, it's over, it's done, You both got to three. It's a draw. Mm-hmm. But then the crowd starts chanting, one more fall. Mm-hmm. One more fall.
There's like one guy in the crowd that was really upset with this. I'm pretty sure that was the announcer too, if I recall.
Yeah. Yeah. So the crowd is begging for one more fall. The ref like has like a sidebar with some random guy off to the side. And they end up doing sudden death. So next fall wins.
Mm-hmm.
And these two for this last fall, oh my god.
Yeah, they...
they beat the snot out of each other for this one.
It's gonna... It was a fucking slobber knocker. To quote JR here, like, it was... like, I like this a lot. I like that Lee attacked Dunn's leg again. And, like, his leg at this point, by the way, is literally, like, injured. Like, if she kicks it, he almost falls over.
Yeah.
It was a... I love this one segment where, like, he kicks her leg. She kicks his leg. He kicks her leg. She kicks him again. He suplexes her with a German suplex. She no-sells it.
Yeah.
And screams like an animal before she then eats just this meaty-ass lariat in the face and just goes down. And I was just like... I remember I wrote, holy she's alive when she kicked out of it.
Was it that, and that? Yeah. And then there was like a little bit of a sequence toward the end where it looked like they were reversing each other.
Mm-hmm.
JT Dunn ends up blocking one of Kimberly's kicks and hits her with a big elbow.
Mm-hmm.
Almost looked like the bull hammer that Wade Barrett used to do. Yeah, he pulls down his elbow pad and just wails him.
Well, I believe this segment was... the two of them are literally fighting each other. Like, they're literally hitting one person, trying to run. The other person is grabbing them and pulling them back and hitting them. And then it's ironic that Lee's downfall here is she tries to one-up him by doing what he did. And because she grabbed him back, he kicked her away and hit her with the bull hammer and knocked her out for the win here. And I was just like, I thought the match was fucking awesome. But told
this
really
match
good story.
This match ruled. I really like this one.
Totally.
Even though there was two double falls, I still really like this one.
I actually didn't hate it as much, only just
me
because
neither.
it told this great story between the two of
exactly.
them.
Exactly. It told the great story of match. These two just want to kick the crap out of each other and beat the crap out of each other no matter what it takes.
But because they're both equally matched, neither one can get the upper hand on the other one.
So either. They just keep knocking each other out.
Yep. This match is freaking great.
Yeah, this match ruled. I gave it a mark out easy.
I did too.
It's so good. It's free. It is on YouTube. I believe it's on Beyond Wrestling's YouTube channel.
Yes, I believe so.
So go check it out over there. Kimberly versus JT Dunn, 3 out of 5 falls match. It was awesome. Definitely worth the watch. Super, super good.
Mm-hmm.
Easy mark out.
Oh, easy.
Go check that out immediately. All right. Well, we did all of our matches for this week, Zach.
Mm-hmm.
We got our markouts. We got a miss out. We got our mez. So that just leaves us with the double down, where we revisit some matches from last week from each other's perspectives. Zach, what match did I give you to watch?
You gave me, let me scroll up on my notes here. You gave me Jamie Hayter versus Mercedes Blaze.
Yes.
To start this match, I forgot what you had told me about this match. So when I walked to this match, I was like, all right, let's see what this is. I forgot how long you told me that this match took to get started.
Yeah, it takes a minute.
I was like, wow, this match is just taking a while to get started. Though I did enjoy watching Hayter argue with children in the crowd. That was funny. I thought that was quite funny. The match got started. It was its usual, like, typical, like, face versus heel shtick. I thought Blaze's combo where she backflipped out of the corner and then used that to throw Hayter's face first into the corner with the Hurricane Rana was cool. I thought that was creative. The shotgun drop kick was one of my highlights of this match. Just like you said, that shit looked nasty as hell.
Yes.
Disgusting.
That shotgun drop kick into the corner?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, God. I liked Blaze's finisher a lot, too. Like, I thought it was, like, it's just a cool finisher.
Okay.
I enjoyed how the long star of the match played into the ending of this match because, you know, she was taunting the crowd. And because she taunted with the crowd, she got hit with Blaze's finisher.
Mm-hmm.
Though, like, I kind of am in the same boat as you. Is like, there wasn't anything super special in this match outside of, like, the stuff I just mentioned, like the shotgun dropkick.
Yeah.
And I kind of was yearning for more when I ended it. I was like, I wish you had given me a bit more oomph to it.
Yeah, I had that same feeling, I think.
I have to say though, it's gonna be a meh for me. and like it wasn't bad. It's just I kind of wanted a bit more to it.
Yeah, that's fair.
What did I give you to watch?
You gave me none other than Robbie Eagles versus Marcius.
Yes, this match, because I remember I was conflicted on what
EPW
I wanted to give
Perth.
This rating. Yes.
From Hell or High Water 2018.
Mm-hmm.
I loved this match, like, a lot. I really, really liked this match. Robbie Eagles has one of the most creative movesets I've ever seen.
He's really good.
He does so much cool shit in this match that just made me be like, what the hell? I didn't even know a person could do that.
Mm-hmm.
Robbie Eagles, I have my notes here are, Eagles is so fast. Next note, Pitt is so strong. these two definitely played to each other's strengths really, really well.
Mm-hmm.
Eagles sold for Pitt like death, making Pitt look like a monster, just throwing him around. And Robbie Eagles is just so fast and so quick. And Marcius Pitt did a great job selling him, just being like, I am getting hit with so much offense, I don't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Eagles is like a machine gun, right?
Yeah.
He just like goes and goes and goes and goes and goes. But Marcius Pitt's like the shotgun. He like hits you hard. He hits you hard.
That.
It's going to take you a little bit to get that next shot, but when he hits you, he hits you.
It's going
to
hurt.
Yeah, but Eagles is like, like, all over the place.
Exactly.
This match was nuts. It was a really cool, like you said, it was basically a 3-on-1 match this time.
Yes.
Because Marcius Pitt had, like, two of his friends outside the ring helping him the whole match.
Mm-hmm.
There was one really cool part where Eagles kicks out of the first F5 after the distractions,
yep.
The run. Kicks out of that first F5, and then there was a point where Pitt Irish whips Eagle into the ropes, and Eagle, like, falls out and, like, grabs the ropes and swings himself back in.
Yes.
And just does, like, a super kick.
I remember that.
Just like that rebound super kick from the bottom ropes,
mm-hmm.
was insane.
I know, right?
That was nutty. The way he just like was like, and I'm back, bam.
It's great.
This match was insane. This match ruled. Mm-hmm. In the end, though, like you said, Marcius Pitt ends up taking the victory with a second F5 after yet another distraction from his friends.
Mm.
But this match was absolutely bonkers. Like, they kicked the crap out of each other. These two put on an awesome show. I loved it. I'm giving it a mark out.
Yeah, I'm remembering now that I was sitting here and I was describing to you, and I was like, I have this written as a meh, but I'm not feeling that right now. When
you
I
had it
reading
written
it
as a meh, but you were describing it as a mark out.
Yeah, see, I think if I recall, I gave the meh, I think I was torn between a high meh or a mark out, and I said specifically last episode that I would defer to your thing to determine how I would rate this.
I'm definitely going mark out for me.
Yeah,
I like
I'll have to give it to it, because like, I don't know what mindset I was in, or if I was tired or something when I watched it. Because like, I read my notes here, and I'm like, this sounds awesome.
It was awesome. This match was great. I personally really liked it.
I enjoyed
it.
So
I am definitely going to give it that mark out, that mark out seal of approval. Go check that out. Free on YouTube. Robbie Eagles versus Marcius Pitt from EPW Perth at Hell or High Water 2018.
Mm-hmm.
Match is insane. Definitely worth the watch.
It's definitely a great match.
All right. Well, that brings us to the end of this episode of Independent Waters. We reviewed all of our matches this week. We did the double down. We got some markouts this week, Zach. I'm excited because last week it was all mess.
Oh, yeah.
So this week we got some good matches that people definitely need to check out. Okay. Markouts are the best matches to review because they're just so much fun.
I know, right? It's getting all messy is a little sad, but it happens. There's nothing better when you find a
good markout. Oh yeah, nothing at all. That feeling you get after you watch the match and you just like pause, you just like stop real quick and you just like, and you like know you watched that awesome match.
Mm-hmm.
That feeling we had that we were talking about when you watched that awesome match, and like you feel it
exactly.
In your gut and you were like, damn. That was a
yeah,
banger.
Yeah, exactly. You're just like,
whew. Well, that brings us to the end of this episode. Remember to go leave us a review on iTunes, 5 stars or more. Give us tell us what you think about the show. Tell us how you're liking it. For an early podcast like us, only 8 episodes in. We are small babies. Any 5-star review, any review at all on iTunes helps. So please do that if you can. And go subscribe to the network feed where we have all of our shows on the network. We have this. We got Hit the Books. We got Ryan's new show every other Monday, G1 and Only. Go check that out. He also started his own new podcast. He's very excited about it. It's all about people who only competed in the G1 Supercard one time and one time only. Just go check that out. It's a really good show. And go check out Hit the Books every Friday, where me and Ryan Knightsey book our own versions of SmackDown and Raw. And, just subscribe and stay with us through this transitional period of going from the Hit the Books network to the Countout network. We will be doing that. I think the changes go live officially on Friday with the release of the draft episode for the beginning of season 4 of Hit the Books. Go check out our website. You can find the link over on Twitter. And go follow us on – speaking of Twitter, go follow us there at Hit the Books Pod. Go follow us over on at Hit the Books Podcast, at the Books Pod on Twitter, where you can find our thoughts on the wrestling world and the world in general. And interact with us, and we love talking to fans on Twitter. It's one of our favorite things to do. We love interacting with people. So go hang out with us over there. And I think that about does it for this week. Go, like I said, go do all those things. A lot of plugs that time. but please go check that out. Please go check all those things out. And we love you. We appreciate you for listening. And remember, there's a giant sea of independent wrestling out there.
So never stop exploring.
This has been a Countout Podcast.